Welcome, you're watching We The People. I'm Rishika Barua. Singapore and Hong Kong have taken off Everest and MDH masalas from their shelves, citing food safety issues and concerns over essentially a pesticide that is called ethylene oxide, a group 1 carcinogen that's been found in these spices, according to them. Ethylene oxide is banned in Singapore. It's also banned in India. And now after these reports, the Indian food regulator has ordered quality checks on Everest and MDH products. India says exports don't fall under the regulator's domain. But having said that, our own food regulator has also analyzed over 1 lakh food samples in the last year, and almost 25,000 did not meet standards. Among them were spices too, but the brand names were not disclosed, raising many issues over transparency. Now, Everest Masalas has downplayed this entire controversy. This is their version of events. They say that this is a standard process and not a ban per se that has been put in place, adding that Singapore's health authority has only temporarily held 1 out of 60 products, that too for examination. But like I said, it's not just our masalas. Cerelac was in the dock after a report that suggested that Nestle adds sugar only to baby foods in India. The same product in the UK, other parts of EU and other developed nations is sugar-free, according to the same report. Further, Bonvita now is no longer categorized as a health drink, according to a stringent government advisory on the blatant use of the term health drinks. They've asked the regulator, the FSSAI, which is the food regulator in India, to ensure appropriate categorization. The influencer, in fact, who raised the banner of revolt over a year ago over this issue is also with us in the show. But, you know, needless to say, the show today is a cry out loud for better, more transparent food safety in India. Joining me in the studio, we have Dr. Neelam Mohan. She's a pediatrician with the Medanta Hospital. Also, Sachin Taparia, founder and chairman, Local Circles. We've just done a fascinating survey on how the general population is feeling about food safety in India. We have Pradeep Chakrabarty. He's a former director of FSSAI, Government of India, and a senior advisor, Center for Public Health and Food Safety. Revanth Himatsingka, who's better known as food farmer, social media influencer, is also joining us. And Dr. Joyita Basu, co-founder and director of the Doctors Hub. Thank you all very much for being with us. But I want to begin the show. It's called We the People by, of course, the people with us in the audience. We have a cross-section of voices today with us in the studio. Thank you all very much for being with us. I've given you a brief introduction, and I'm sure you've read a lot about this as well. How do you feel about it, sir?
Well, I used to think that I'm very health conscious, and the kind of food that I used to eat, I used to pick what I'm eating. But now I'm really worried ever since this report has come out, because although personally, I can even eat bland food, but I have kids at home, so I used to add spices, and we used to think that spices add, you can say they are health, you can say they add something to our health.
Yes.
But now exactly the reverse is happening, and we used to have big brands like MDH, Everest and whatnot,
yes,
thinking that at least they will give us something good nutrient. But now
so
what has happened is shocking.
Questions over big brands really being in the dock, I think that's...
So if the big brand are not giving us what we are supposed to get, then I don't know what the smaller brands are going to
All right. So we have Mr. Lokesh Yadav. You work with the Cancer Institute and you had a very interesting point to make. Go ahead.
Mera question seedha seedha hai ki hamara jo recent data hai India ka, wo cancer mein number 1 aa gaya puri duniya mein. Aur jis tarah cancer ke cases yahan badh rahe hain, aur usme khas kar digestive system ki main baat karu to digestive system ke bahut sare cancer, stomach cancer hai, colon cancer hai, ye sab inka jo main karan hai wo jo food adulteration wala hi hai. Agar hum acha khayenge nahi to acha pachayenge nahi, acha pachayenge nahi to kahin na kahin tumor mein wahan pe irritation hokar kahin na kahin tumor growth ho raha hai. Aur is tarah ka jo cancer pe to kabu pa hi nahi pa rahe, sath mein jo hum kar sakte hain, jo food adulteration ke khane ko kuch kam acha kar sakte hain, wo bhi sarkar nahi kar pa rahi, uske bare mein mujhe puchna.
Okay, so we'll take that to the doctors as well. You had a question?
Yeah. So my question is that, as you know, we are Gen Z, we are the youth of India, and so we don't have enough time to spend on, you know, grind our spices or do some stuff like
so
that.
So you go for packaged products.
We go for convenience.
Yes.
So what are the next alternative for that? You know, we can't get rid of it, like we can't do spend much time on it.
Okay. So, yeah. All right, ma'am, you had a question.
Yeah.
Yes.
मैम, जैसे भी हम लोगों ने सुना तो इट्स वेरी शॉकिंग फॉर एवरी इंडियन के इतने बड़े बड़े ब्रांड्स भी फूड एडल्ट्रेशन कर रहे हैं. तो अब मेरा ये क्वेश्चन है कि हमें अभी इन मसालों को या जो भी पहले पतंजलि का हमने सुना, फिर ये दो नए ब्रांड्स आए हैं, तो इन मसालों को हमें कंटिन्यू करना है या हमें अपने होममेड मसालों को यूज करना चाहिए?
Okay.
तो हमारे पास क्या ऑप्शन है? जैसे हम लोग तो ओल्डर पीपल में आ गए हैं हम लोग,
yes.
तो हमारे लिए इम्यूनिटी बहुत ज्यादा मायने रखती है अपने आप को थोड़े 10-15 साल
okay.
और जीने
so के should लिए. You continue to use these spices or not? I think that's a fair question. So you had a question as well.
I'm a founder of Parent Association and we have lakhs of parents associated with us. तो पहले हमारी चिंता होती थी कि बच्चों को क्या पढ़ाएंगे, उसके बाद हम अपनी EMI कैसे चुकाएंगे, अपनी नौकरी और बिजनेस कैसे चलाएंगे. अब तो एक बहुत बड़ा प्रश्न खड़ा हो गया कि अब हम क्या खाएंगे. और इसके साथ जो है, इंडिया इज़ अ डेवलपिंग कंट्री और हमारे पास हर सुविधा, एवरीथिंग इज अवेलेबल. अनफॉर्चुनेटली आउटसाइड कंट्री had to tell us what we should do.
Hmm.
The question is to the regulatory authorities,
hmm.
were they sleeping with all due regards?
Hmm.
And what all have they been doing in
okay.
the last few years?
All right.
And
well,
we want stern action, which is visible on ground.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, very fair points, very fair questions. I hope to address some of those and many more concerns over the course of the next half an hour. Pradeep Chakrabarty, can I begin by asking you, as someone who's formerly been with FSSAI, can you explain to our viewers why is it that we learn of these inadequacies, questions over carcinogens, questions over excessive sugar? Why are we learning of all of this from other countries? Why don't we have enough information or transparency available within the Indian system to be able to tell our own people what we're eating and what we shouldn't be eating?
Yeah, this is on the spices, no? You are asking me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So spices, I'm really disturbed to know that ethylene oxide has been found in these spices.
Hmm.
And ethylene oxide is banned by European Food Safety Authority since 1991. And it is not permitted by FSSAI also. It is a insecticides or pesticides and sterilizer also.
Hmm.
And it is used in some other in industries,
hmm.
But as a sterilizing agent. But it is not permitted in food products. Even then, these unscrupulous people actually, they have used this ethylene oxide. Be that as it may,
Mr. Chakrabarty, the question is, what does, I know you're formally with FSSAI, but what does FSSAI do about this?
Well, see, spices are exported from India, and FSSAI is mandated with the domestic and imported food products only. Export is not within the purview of the FSSAI.
I'm talking about the food products in the domestic market. I'm not concerned with what is happening in Singapore and Hong Kong, but we are consuming the same products, aren't we, sir? That's the concern.
No, in domestic product also. Definitely, it is the responsibility of the FSSAI and also the spices board. In case of spice, it is a joint responsibility. But FSSAI does not have that much infrastructure to do surveillance on these products. But spices board has very good laboratories.
Okay,
but
I also admit that
there is lacuna from FSSAI side also.
Okay, you agree there's a lacuna, and thank you for agreeing on that. Because clearly there is, and I think you denying it would have just made it worse. I want to just ask you very briefly, sir. Last year, there was a survey that was conducted. Over 1.23 lakh products were surveyed. Some 25,000 food items were not found to be meeting the conditions. We don't know what those items were. We don't know what those 25,000 items were. We have absolutely no idea about this survey. We are only learning about it from FSSAI now. So my question to you is, can we expect at least more transparency from the Indian food regulator so that people are learning about inadequacies or lacunae or problem from our own country and not from surveys and health regulators abroad?
No, the thing is actually our enforcement infrastructure in FSSAI as well as surveillance infrastructure is very poor. I have to admit that.
Okay.
And over these years, actually, it has been implemented since 2011. But even after 13 years, actually, we have not been able to come to that to that level to enforce this act, rules and regulations very strictly. And once a number of samples collected also very meager. not satisfactory.
All right. I want to go to Revanth Himatsika. A lot of people, Revanth, recognize you. They most people know you as Food Farmer. I want to ask you, you've started this whole movement online to raise awareness about packeted food. We can't live without packaged food, as a lot of people in the audience have also talked about. It's a question of convenience. It's easily available. So if it is available, it should be safe. My question to you is very simple. Like, you read these packaged products and you educate people about them, how can people like me, Aam Aadmi, how can we learn to read products and packets better? Is there a hack? Is there something that you can tell us so we can understand what we should and shouldn't be buying?
Yeah, so I can give you like quick 3-4 pointers and it will be helpful for everyone.
Okay.
The biggest mistake all of us make is that we only look at the front of pack while buying. And most companies will only highlight their best quality. So they'll say vitamin C, high-end protein, but they won't give you the whole picture. If you want the whole picture, you have to turn around the pack and look at the back of the pack. Now in India, the problem is most of us in the back of the pack only look at two things, the MRP or the expiry date.
Yes.
So I always tell people, don't just look at the expiry date. Don't just look at the MRP. In fact, there is a funny line in relation to expiry date. The longer the expiry date, the sooner our expiry date. The longer the shelf life of a product, the shorter our life, because usually the products with higher expiry dates have more preservatives.
Okay.
So don't just go by expiry date. Don't get happy seeing a long expiry date. What you should look at instead of the expiry date, instead of the MRP, is the ingredient list and the nutrition label.
Okay.
So specifically in relation to the ingredient lists are listed in order of weight. So the first ingredient is the one which is highest by volume, followed by the second, which is highest by weight, followed by the third. So if you see sugar or maida in the first 3 to 5 ingredients, you should not have way too much of it. You should have it once in a month, twice in a month.
In moderation, let's be fair.
Exactly. Yes. Don't have it every day. But the problem is that every single biscuit that we consume has sugar and maida in the first 2 ingredients.
Yes.
So that is the challenge, is that...
So should we really be consuming it every day? Yeah, and I think, you know, things like carcinogens are obviously hard for people like us to read. They're probably not even going to be written there in the back of the packet. I think that's where the role of the FSSAI comes in. And, you know, congratulations to you, because for those of you who don't know, you're the person who is behind Bonvita no longer being qualified as a health drink. You raised several of those concerns and fought hard for it. So congratulations on that. I'm going to come back to you. But Dr. Joyita Basu, if I can just bring in the experts very quickly into this conversation. Dr. Joyita Basu, just existential questions from the audience. This masalas now that have been taken off the shelves in Hong Kong, India is now going to be testing them. A, what happens to people who have been consuming these carcinogens over a period of time? And B, like the lady asked, should we just stop? Should we throw all of these masalas out of our house? What should we do?
So it's going to be difficult for us to throw all the masalas out of the house, and it's really very, very convenient. Nobody has time like the olden days to get the khada masalas or the whole masalas and grind them at home. If you can do that, that's the best thing to do. But if you can't do that, you have to look at the ingredients. This specific particular ethylene glycol that is there, you have to check for that. If that's there, don't take that. But most of them do contain, most of the masalas do contain ethylene glycol, because it is permitted to a certain level. I think the permitted limit is 0.13 or something like that. 0.1 mg per kg is the permissible limit.
Okay.
So if it exceeds that, that is the harmful point. I don't know if these masalas are even writing in the ingredient list how much mg per 100 gram of masala. So you'll have to be more careful with that.
Yes.
Second thing, go back, if you can go back, that's what I'm saying. If you can go back to what your grandparents did or your parents did, where you buy the whole masala, grind them, and it's a little bit more effort, but definitely more healthy, that definitely would work.
Okay.
As much less processed food as possible in your diet. That's the one thing that I tell everybody. As much less processed and packaged food in your diet is the way to healthy life.
Okay.
Third thing is about actually fruits and vegetables.
Yes, anything I was just going to come to that. Because I was just going to ask you that you're saying no less packaged food. What about fruits and vegetables? People say, you know,
I'm coming
all
to that.
Of,
the yes. bigger the cauliflower, the whiter the cauliflower. I tell my patients that's Botox.
Okay.
You know, you look at it and it's Botox. The
okay.
smaller ones, the ones which are smaller, more leaves, which don't look, you know, which look less less Botox or less beautiful, they are the ones actually which haven't been treated much, and they are the ones that you should be going for.
Okay.
You know, that is more, I don't know how organic, how good organic is, but maybe less as compared to what we are eating these days.
Okay, so I think those are a lot of red flags that you've raised, and sadly, I think, yeah, you know, going back to old practices appears to be one of the answers that you've given. A lot of people don't have the luxury to do that, you know, so though that's where the existential question really comes in. But, you know, like I said, this is not just a masala story. There's been several concerns over Cerelac, over Bonvita. These are household names. We have a pediatrician as well. Dr. Neelam, break it down for our viewers. You know, how much of a worry is this excess sugar? Because like this Swiss NGO report says, excess sugar has been found in India, not in other developed countries.
I would highlight two things. WHO did say a couple of years ago about cutting down the sugars, especially in the infant formula. So that becomes like an ethical issue. But at the same time, the FSSAI had come out with, you know, a particular limit with which they could add the sucrose or the sugar. So the Nestle is saying that they are within those limits.
Yes.
So legally, maybe they would be right in that. And
yes,
UK was one country, or European countries did not want it at all. So maybe that is the discrepancy that we're finding between the legal and the ethical battle. But before I proceed further about it, we need to understand, why are we saying no to sugars? Well, probably all of us were brought up and brought with that. The very fact, three things which we've understood is, number one, the sugars are very addictive. You all have realized that once you taste sugar, you know, you wouldn't want to stop eating sugary things. So an infant who gets addicted to sugar would not like to taste vegetables or fruits.
Right.
So that is one problem. Second is, they are empty calories. What I mean by empty is there's no nutritional value. If I want to give my child a calorie which has something like a protein, a vitamin, a mineral, a carbs, fiber. So these are just the protein and no antioxidants. So it's like an empty calorie that I'm giving. And in the long run, these actually, when your sugar you take, there are two types of sugar, the free sugar and the sugar which you find in, say, plants and fruits, etc. So this free sugar suddenly increases your sugar level. So the body tends to release insulin to get the sugar level down. So that insulin which comes, eventually you will get through a vicious cycle.
Okay.
More sugar will get into insulin resistance.
Right.
So
basically you're saying that Bonvita and Nestle, with what we've discovered now,
have
is
very
a
high
no.
sugar.
So it's
I can't say no. What I want to highlight is that there is less than 5%, say infants, no sugar.
Okay.
Clear about that.
Okay.
In older, it is less than 5%. So if I'm allowing a child, say, total 3-4 spoon in a day, and out of that you've taken the whole 3 spoon in a add-on drink, or you take a cool drink or a beverage, which contains, you'll be shocked, it is 2-3 teaspoon per 100 ml.
Right.
So 300 ml bottle is 9 spoons of sugar.
Yeah.
So that is what we are highlighting is going to give rise to.
And you know,
liver,
like the worry
disease,
that all
heart
of this
disease,
was,
atherosclerosis.
Yeah. And a lot of this being sold under the banner of health drinks.
Exactly.
So I think that was what was
even also
worrying.
The sports drink.
Do you want to just address one of the other questions that the lady had about what are the alternatives?
Yes.
Like Dr. Joita said, go back to the old
now,
good old
I think,
days. But
yes, practical thing, you know, like we've all gone, even I've been a working lady. So what we do is we suggest you all to make a powder of oats or make a powder of ragi and dalia. And so when you do this, all that you need to do is take those powders, and we also expect you to yellow dates, seeds ko powder karlo, almonds ko karlo, chane ka powder.
So these
are antioxidants and all, but say on a Sunday, whatever, that's why even all of you all have the weekend off. I know there's a lot of work, but then when you have a baby, you need to get that responsible and take out
the
time.
That's the bottom line.
So get
but
that
think,
powder, and it's very easy to just mix and put everything into it.
I think
it,
important
boil
perspectives
it
from both doctors not being alarmist, but saying moderation is key. And I think knowledge more
that's,
importantly.
That's the will, yes.
So
way to go ahead.
You need to know the sugars that you need to be taking in what quantities, the fact that it's a big no for infants. Sachin Taparia, you've been listening very patiently. I want to come back. I want to come to you because there's a fascinating survey that you've released just recently where you've talked about the lack of confidence in food safety in India. I think what we've heard from the audience is testament to your survey. There's an overwhelming 7 in 10 people who say they have no faith in the system and don't think the food they're eating is safe. I mean, that's clearly goes to show that there is a lot of alarm among people over this story.
No, absolutely. You know, so we asked two questions in this latest survey, Rishika. The first one was around spices because recent case of MDH and Everest.
Yes.
And again, you know, 72% people, you know, those who are consuming these particular brands and those who are not consuming, both of them, you know, equally concerned that, you know, that something of this nature, you know, these are household brands which have been there for generations.
Yes.
Right. So it's very troublesome for people to find that out. Second thing, you know, that we found in our survey is that, you know, you have the central government body FSSAI and then you have state food departments who are, you know, folks on the ground who are supposed to ensure that the mawa that is selling, the fruits and vegetables that are selling in markets, in stores are of good quality, right? And they're not full with adulterants. Mm. And very low level of confidence. 7 in 10 people basically saying that they are not confident that the food safety bodies or the food regulators are doing what they are supposed to do.
Hmm.
And, you know, what it really highlights is a very, very strong need for food reforms in the country.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, just to give you an example, I think somebody mentioned about the fruits and vegetables. In the city of Delhi, this is another study that we had done, 95% of mangoes that are sold are either carbide ripened or if you look at the box and you go underneath the box, there is a ethypon sachet at the bottom of it.
Okay.
Right? So 95% of what we are consuming is artificially ripened and, you know, simple things that people can do is take those mangoes, put it in a bucket. If they are floating, they are artificially ripened. Right?
But what do you do then? But do you eat them or do you not eat them?
So you do not eat them. And, you know, you have to be patient. You buy the mangoes raw. You keep them at home. You know, you wait for 4-5 days and then you have your mangoes.
Yes.
But
I'm afraid we haven't found any sustainable solutions. There clearly are no easy answers to this problem. But Revanth, if I can come back to you, it does all sound very doomsday. As someone who's been writing about this, you've been very vocal about this. You know, you're also saying that we are making headway towards transparency, better information, aren't we? Is there any silver lining, any light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes, I think in the last 1 year, especially in the last 6 months, we see a lot more people getting concerned about this. Health and nutrition labels and food was never really discussed much. But I have seen millions of people now taking a little bit more active role in reading labels. I see kids. When I was a kid, I did not care about how much sugar there is in something. But I see now many kids are also like, okay, I don't want to consume this because this has too much sugar. This was something which was never done before. A lot of people are now getting aware of how much protein we need. And they realize that, you know, India is lacking protein significantly in our diets. So I don't think everything is just negative. There are some positives as well. I keep saying this one thing. India is a country where we are educated, but we are not health literate. And we need to now focus a lot on health literacy in the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, I think you're doing a stellar job in doing that in some small way. Dr. Joita, I have 30 seconds. I want to ask you very quickly a concern that was raised, and I think we haven't touched upon it enough, which is carcinogens. You know, whether it's artificially ripened fruit, vegetables, pesticide sprays, or these pesticides that are being... How big is this a concern? How closely do you think food is linked with the rise in cancer that we're seeing in our country today?
So India was first the diabetes capital of the world, and now India is becoming the cancer capital of the world. First of all, I'm going to talk about our pollution. That's the biggest carcinogen that we are inhaling every single day. So that's the first thing that I'm going to talk about. Secondly, as far as the food is concerned, like my co-panelist mentioned, that in the mango, it's the ripe mango. They put that ethylene pod yes. underneath the mangoes, and that's how they ripen it. They put carbide into it. They're injecting hormones into many fruits. Because I will talk about Delhi NCR. Over here, we don't grow so many fruits as you would get from other sides. So yes. what happens is there's no local produce. You should eat local produce.
Right.
If you're getting food from other parts of the country, it's hot. It takes time for all these fruits and vegetables to come from one part of the country yes. to the other. In this heat, it's not going to survive. So how do you make it survive? And how do you make it last till it reaches here?
Yes.
So that's where it's happening.
I think and those are red flags. Yes.
Those yes. are red flags yes. and our laws are very, very loose as far as this is concerned.
Yes, I think Mr. Pradeep Chakravarti admitting to some of those lacunae at the very outset just highlights what we really need to work towards. I think what all the panelists have agreed on is the fact that awareness and literacy when it comes to what we're consuming is key. It's perhaps a very first small step in the direction, and we hope that this show has been able to achieve at least a little bit of that. Thank you all very much for your invaluable time, and thank you to you if you've tuned in tonight.